A fresh setback for stem cell research.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. A U.S. district judge has put a hold on federal funding for stem cell research involving human embryos. The decision could affect labs that count on hundreds of millions of dollars in federal funding. Marketplace's Amy Scott joins us live from Baltimore. Good morning, Amy. Bring us up to date. The Obama administration had allowed federal funding of stem cell research. Did the judge overturn that?
Right. That was one of President Obama's first acts when he took office. He changed the guidelines so that funding could go to research using stem cells from embryos that had already been destroyed. But critics say that skirted a 1996 law that bans federal funding for research that involves destroying human embryos. Yesterday, U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth agreed, ruling that the practice still broke the law.
So what does this mean for all the stem cell research that's currently going on?
Well, it throws into question hundreds of millions of dollars in funding. It's not clear whether the Obama administration will appeal, and supporters of the research say that stem cells from embryos have enormous promise for treating chronic diseases like diabetes and Alzheimer's. Researchers will still be able to get private funding. But without that federal money, some scientists are saying this could effectively halt most embryonic stem cell research.
Marketplace's Amy Scott live in Baltimore. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The yen just hit a 15-year high against the dollar, which doesn't bode well for Japanese businesses that depend on exports. And that explains this morning's numbers music. Tokyo's Nikkei slipped even further today, 1.3%. That put it below the 9,000 mark for the first time in almost a year and a half. Same picture for European stocks this hour. From Britain and France to Germany, the major exchanges are down around a percent or more. Are you a jailbreaker? For years, users of the Apple iPhone have been engaging in that practice. We're talking about hacking into your cell phone so you can use software that hasn't been sold and authorized by Apple. The government recently decided the practice is not illegal, but it also didn't stop phone makers from doing what they can to stop it. And now Apple is turning to the U.S. Patent Office, as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
Apple has applied for a patent that would allow it to identify unauthorized jailbreakers. It could take pictures of users, record their voices, even monitor their heartbeats. If unauthorized use is suspected, Apple could restrict access or even delete information from the phone. Tech analyst Charles Galvin with Forrester Research says it's probably not as devious as it sounds, that Apple simply wants more control over the user experience.
I think the idea that your iPhone would constantly be monitoring your heartbeat and acting in a very big brother-like way is pretty far from, I think, the Apple ideal of how customers experience their products. And I think it's unlikely that they would go to that extreme.
Apple is refusing to comment. Tech analyst Rob Enderle says the company may have another motive in mind, to compete with its more secure rivals in the market for business customers.
It really does look to be more along the lines of securing the phone and allowing the phone to better address the competitive threat represented by BlackBerry and, to a much lesser extent, Microsoft.
The Patent Office says it may take a year or more for any final word on Apple's patent application. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com.
You've undoubtedly had to check the yes or no box at some point on this question. Have you ever been convicted of a felony? Many job applications ask, of course, but advocates for ex-cons say the question handcuffs those who want to stay on the straight and narrow through legitimate employment. Sarah Hewlett of Michigan Radio says Detroit is the latest city to consider chucking the checkbox.
Inside a Detroit office building, half a dozen men sit in a narrow room listening to Derek Blackman give advice about finding a job. Blackman works for a program called Flip the Script with Goodwill Industries, and the guys he's counseling have all been recently released from prison.
What else is good or bad about the interview?
You can tell them that you're going to be on a good, hard worker. You're going to be on work on time.
I work on time. The building.
Right.
I was waiting.
Right.
You can sell yourself.
Right.
But many ex-offenders will never get to the interview. That's because checking the felony conviction box on the job application will often send their forms straight to the reject pile. So Detroit could soon remove the question from government job applications and make city contractors do the same. City Councilman Ken Cockrell is sponsoring the proposed ordinance. He says some people are worried the policy could be an affirmative action program for criminals. But Cockrell says applicants will still have to undergo background checks for some jobs.
And that's important because obviously you don't want somebody that's got multiple drunk driving convictions getting a job driving a DDOT bus. But if you're a person that's maybe just applying to cut grass on city-owned property, yeah, you shouldn't necessarily be penalized or asked whether or not you did something 20 years ago.
It's estimated that about 27,000 people in Detroit are on probation or parole. And advocates for ex-cons say shutting them out of the workforce is bad for the city in the long run. Keith Bennett runs the Flip the Script program.
You get in where you fit in. And if these people can't fit back into society, they'll get back into life of crime. And we're going to pay for that.
Detroit is not the first city to consider the change. Boston and Chicago have already dropped the question from job applications. But officials in those cities say it's difficult to tell whether more ex-cons are finding gainful employment. That's because the poor economy means there's not much hiring going on. In Detroit, I'm Sarah Hewlett for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, the owners of the Empire State Building stopped just short yesterday of labeling a would-be rival the monster that ate Midtown Manhattan. They say a new tower planned just two avenues to the west would be an assault on the city's familiar skyline and a monstrosity that would diminish the iconic status of their 79-year-old skyscraper. The new building would top out just 34 feet shy of the Empire State Building's 1,250 feet. It could go up near Penn Station if the city council votes tomorrow to clear the final regulatory hurdle. Developers say the project will bring thousands of jobs and help the city grow and prosper. Or will the existing landmark be allowed to stand alone, something more like the entire state building? Stay tuned. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.